Sport on the hard shoulder.
With Visit Pennsylvania, sport, music and food is just a flight away. Go to visitpa.com.
Owen Sheehan from Off the Ball with me to look ahead to the weekend sporting action. Before we talk to Owen, though, Cathal Dennehy is on the line, the sports journalist, and he joins me from Tokyo in Japan, the host city for the World Athletics Championships. And Cathal, what a day for Kate O'Connor.
Yeah, another remarkable day in what's been another remarkable year for Kate O'Connor. I mean, she's been doing this since back in February. You know, she was breaking her personal best in majority of events when she was lining up for pentathlons indoors. She went and won a European indoor medal, a bronze. She went to the world indoors. She won a silver. Those were the first ever multi-events medals for Ireland on those stages before in the history of athletics. And then she went in the summer, came out, made a late start to the outdoor season very sensibly because the World Championships are so late this year. Here towards the end of September, and you know, broke the Irish record, almost 6,500 points to win that World University Games title. I think everyone knew that was going to be probably the base rather than the ceiling for Kate O'Connor, and she's come out again and just absolutely smashed it on day one. Four events today out of seven in the heptathlon. She set lifetime bests in three of those four events. And it's just so impressive. She's currently sitting overnight on 3,906 points. That's 169 points ahead of her day one tally when she set the national record. So Kate O'Connor, if she produces something similar on day two, is going to record about 6,700 toward up above that even. And, you know, that's the kind of tally that is definitely going to be top five here. For sure, if she can get to that. And I think there's a strong chance it's going to land her on the podium. I think it's going to be very close. You have USA's Anna Hall currently out in front. She's, barring a fall, she's headed for gold. But Kate O'Connor is very much in the mix with three or four others battling for the silver and the bronze. Katarina Johnson-Thompson of Britain is going to be one of them. Saga Vaninen of Finland, and the Dutch star Sophie Doctor as well will be in there.
Yeah, I was listening to some of the post-event coverage on RTE, and Dervil was suggesting that the way things go tomorrow, it might come down to the last 200 metres of that last 800 metres, which in multi-events, that last race is always absolute carnage, but it might suit Kate O'Connor.
It might, you know, and she's been doing a lot of work on 800 metres this year. She's, you know, been setting personal bests, and we've seen so many times that when the big pressure moments happen, whether it's a high jump bar that needs to be cleared or an 800 metres where you really have to dig in and just empty the tank, Kate O'Connor is an absolutely clutch performer. She's proven it at all the championships this year. She's taken such a relaxed, focused, kind of carefree attitude at the same time. You know, she said she's not here thinking about the medals and she's not thinking about the rivals. She said she's achieved more than her wildest dreams already this year, and she feels like she's in bonus territory. Much like the way Keane McPhillips is going into the 800 metres tomorrow, I think she's mentally approaching this in the perfect mindset, and she just is continuing to produce the performances. And I should say, when athletes come to an event like the heptathlon, when you have seven events across 2 days, it's very rare that they set personal bests in the majority of them, because, you know, things just go wrong, things fall apart for them. And Kate O'Connor at the European indoors, at the world indoors, and now here, the biggest stage in the sport outside of the Olympics, she is doing it again. She is just setting lifetime bests in event after event after event. It is astonishing.
Yeah, it really is. And tomorrow's just going to be mouthwatering from an Irish point of view. Before we talk about Keane McPhillips, a couple of words about today's other events. We had Irish athletes out in the 5,000 metre men's, but no joy.
Yeah, no joy there for them. There was three of them out there. I think Andrew Coskren, really, he even mentioned he was running on tired legs, just failed to really get up to the tempo of the race and just left himself with a bit of ground to make up, and then just couldn't quite turn the gears when the gears were shifting up front, couldn't quite go with them. But no shame in that whatsoever for him. He made the 1500 metre final. For Brian Fay, his former training partner at the Dublin Track Club, you know, that was the opposite, really. You know, Fay got knocked out, but it was a brutal way to get knocked out for him, you know. And he said he feels like a broken record, is what he told me after the race, because he's come to a lot of these championships, he's gone out in the heat repeatedly in the 5000 metres, and he thinks maybe it's time to switch to the steeplechase or perhaps a new event, maybe take to the roads, because he's getting too obsessed with that target of trying to make a world final over 5,000 metres. And then finally, the best of the trio was Darragh McElhinney. He was 10th place. He was only half a second off making the final. And it was a brilliant run by Darragh McElhinney. He was disappointed, but there was pride amid that disappointment because, you know, he didn't make the Olympics last year. He didn't make the World Championships 2 years ago. He's had a horrible run, you know, with injury and illness and things over the last couple of years, and he's now back flying high, and he was on the cusp of making a world final, and he's young, he's only 24, he'll certainly be back, and I would fully expect him to be in an Olympic or world final in the years ahead. So he's taken a lot of confidence, I'd say, out of this championship, despite just coming up short.
Yeah, there's been great excitement even today. I mean, with Rye Benjamin deciding to go through the final hurdle in the 400 men's, the 400 women's on the flat. I know you and I were both excited about that in advance, and it didn't disappoint. And I think lots of people may be excited at the prospect that Sydney McLaughlin might ultimately wipe Marita Cox's name off the record books, and we'd all welcome not having to reference that particular era of athletics anymore. The women's eight final, I can't wait for as well. Really looking forward to that. But you mentioned Kean McPhillips, so let's talk about Kean McPhillips. He has just been in lightning form in the two rounds so far in the 15. What can we expect tomorrow?
I think expect the unexpected. I genuinely think, and this is very rare that you would go into a world final when you've been watching athletes compete all season and you've seen them in the heats, you've seen them in the semi-finals. It's very rare that you would say, I have no idea what's going to happen in the final. But I genuinely don't. I mean, Kean McPhillips could win gold, or Kean McPhillips could finish eighth in this final, and he could finish every place in between. And I think that's kind of true for all eight men who are on the start line. There's going to be, you know, with 200 metres to go, you'll be able to throw a blanket over this field. It's going to be about who's in the right position and who's able to come home strong. And I think Kean McPhillips has excelled. He has been absolute foot perfect on both of those fronts in his heat and semi-final. He has been in the right position every time, and he has finished so strong down that last 100. And, you know, people call it a game of speed down that last 100. It looks like they're kicking. It looks like they're picking up the pace. It's not really that, it's more a test of strength. And Kean McPhillips has worked hard on his endurance. You know, he got an injury, he was out for 11 weeks back around April, May time, but he was doing 2.5-3 hours a day on this assault bike thing, and then on the elliptical machine as well, just putting himself absolutely through the ringer. That has built a huge base of aerobic fitness. He's now benefiting from all that, and he'll benefit in the final tomorrow, because you need to be very fit, very strong to produce your best in three races after in five days. I think he's going to go very, very close to a medal. And like I said, the way he ran that semi-final and his heat, and he looks very similar to the other men, nothing at all is off the table tomorrow afternoon.
Ah, listen, exciting stuff. Cathal, thanks a million for talking us through.
Cheers, Kieran.
Owen Sheehan, like I say, from Off the Ball with me as well. So beyond that Super Saturday in the athletics, Owen, what do we talk about? Premier League maybe to kick things off.
Yeah, definitely. Arsenal versus Manchester City is probably the pick of the fixtures this weekend. This was a game that happened around this time last year as well. And you'll remember it was this crazy game where Arsenal went 1-0 up and they had a player sent off right before half time, and Mikel Arteta parked the bus in one of the most spectacular manners we've ever seen. And we thought this was going to be the beginning of a brilliant, poisonous rivalry between Pep and Arteta as the season went on. And then, as it turned out, Arne Slot's Liverpool machine was totally unstoppable, and it was completely irrelevant. So maybe the most important fixture is actually tomorrow lunchtime, Liverpool versus Everton in the Merseyside derby. Liverpool have won every single game this season, and they have won every single game this season in a very dramatic manner, scoring late. I think the 83rd minute is the earliest they've scored their winner in any game. This week was no different. They beat Atletico Madrid at Anfield with a late Virgil van Dijk header in the 92nd minute. So their fixture list has been tough, is the one thing I'd say about people who are critical of Liverpool and their prospects. Like, they've played Arsenal, they've played a Bournemouth team who are in the top four at the moment, they've had to go to Newcastle and they've won that game. They haven't had many easy fixtures, but Everton, of course, would love to spoil their unbeaten run there. They're 100% run, in fact, tomorrow afternoon.
Alright, so that's tomorrow afternoon, and then, you know, that other big game, Arsenal and City as well, happening this weekend. You've got a match, before we talk about the GPA, because I know you're going to be talking about that tonight, you've got League of Ireland tonight as well, don't you?
We do indeed. St. Pat's against Galway United is our live game, kicking off at 7:45. Richie Tal is going to be on co-commentary for us for that one. So, like, with St. Pat's at the moment, it's one of these ones where you're just trying to enjoy the last few months of Mason Melia playing football here before he goes off to Tottenham Hotspur at the end of the season. So we're firmly in the running. No one's going to catch overs, I'd suspect, but Pat's will want to get into that second, third place.
So I mentioned the GPA, the Gaelic Players Association. Their CEO is Tom Parsons, and you're going to be talking to him as well, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
So they've got the begging bowl out.
He does. He's gone to government looking for €10 million, which will be allocated to players. They currently get €5.6 million in terms of their grant for players across the three organisations, the GAA, the Camogie Association and the LGFA. The GPA have made the point that intercounty players are out of pocket to the tune of €4,600 annually, and they reckon that because of how much these players are actually creating for the Exchequer, they deserve a little slice of the pie. So 10 million euros, what they're asking for.
So how much does that work out per player? What does each player get at the moment, and what's he looking for?
It would rise to 2.5 grand
okay.
Annually. Now, that would still leave them out of pocket. So, as I say, 4.6K is what their estimations are. Now, that's obviously on a massive scale of variance. Like, some seasons are shorter than others. Some players are living at home. So I would suspect some players are being better looked after by their county board in terms of food, supplements, all that sort of thing. Like, I mean, you can make the case that a Dublin footballer or a Kerry footballer are the most high profile players in the organisation or the organisations, and are therefore giving more to the Exchequer than everybody else indirectly. However, somebody who's playing for a junior Camogie team, for example, may not have the same level of visibility, but probably get the least amount from their county board. So who actually deserves the most is something I'm going to try and explore with Tom Parsons on the show a little later on, because it's a hard one to actually crack down, especially because there's so much mystery around what county boards are actually giving to players and the money sloshing around sometimes. But I think there's been some suggestion that Limerick hurlers have to pay for their own almond butter, and that's quite a pricey.
That is a travesty.
Quite a pricey thing. Every second day, apparently, an almond butter.
Oh my God! Could they not find a wealthy benefactor down there in Limerick now to buy the almond butter?
It doesn't stretch that far, allegedly. So you might be surprised. You might think that some of these these county boards with good access to cash, maybe not all as what it seems. So the grant is important for every player. But look, the GPA have made the point that lots of players are missing out on part-time work. Lots of career progression is being hampered as a result of your commitment to the intercounty game. And they reckon that the government need to stump up around double the amount of money they already are.
All right, look forward to that with Tom Parsons tonight on Off the Ball with Owen Sheehan. Justice for the Limerick hurlers.
Sport on the hard shoulder.
With Visit Pennsylvania, sport, music and food is just a flight away. Go to visitpa.com.